Today's show is sponsored by Brooklinen. Get $20 off and free shipping by using the code LOVE at brooklinen.com. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey.
We're shooting late, guys. It's a long day, so if we sound tired or something, then guess what? We probably are. Oh, we're so excited to chat with you guys. You know what? I wanted to do something special this week, and I feel like I was reading some feedback from some people, and on our podcast. And I think people like, you know, this and that, but it does seem like a lot of people like when we get talk really relationship specific on certain questions. And so Today we're just going to do a special Q&A only podcast straight from you guys. I'm really, really excited to chat about that. In fact, multiple people have actually tweeted us recently and let us know that the podcast, I don't remember when we did, I think you did maybe a year ago, where we dedicated a whole podcast or two to singleness. And people that are single and what that means theologically and personally and for your life and questions and answers, et cetera. That's actually been like one of our most listened to and one of our most like best feedback people give. And so wow. I know Alyssa really carried that one. And also, guys, if you have read Love That Lasts, chapter 4 specifically is on that. People who are single and read that book say chapter 4 was really transformative to them and life changing to them. And I can boast about it because I didn't write that chapter. So I can say my wife killed it. You need the book to go read that chapter. Let's just jump to a couple questions, shall we?
Sure.
All right. Oh, this one's about singleness, but in a different regard. And so Lauren said, I just got out of an extremely toxic relationship in January. Thanks for being honest. Been there. It's not Alyssa. That was a different relationship.
Thanks, babe.
Just to clear that up. That was back in like high school. I know this summer is a period for me and the Lord to grow closer now as I prepare to attend Northwest University. Oh, that's where we're from. Cool. In the fall, but it's difficult because my friends are getting into relationships and I want that too, but I know it's not my time yet. Any advice to stay patient while being single? I'll let Alyssa answer that. But Lauren, I'm going to give you the hard truth right here. And the hard truth is, well, it's not even hard truth. It's just, you're actually really wise. Like you kind of answered your entire question by how you worded the question. You basically said, like, you know that this season is a time to prepare and grow closer to the Lord. You know it's hard, but doesn't feel like your time yet. So, yeah, it sounds like you're just really wild. Like, that is where I think the Lord wants to take you. And that's where the Lord likes to take a lot of people after severed relationships, especially after toxic ones. I don't think people realize after toxic relationships how it's not just like, oh, you can just move on with your life. After a pretty unhealthy toxic relationship where there's severe manipulation, severe addictions, severe kind of like idolatrous love, which we talk about in Love That Lasts. If there's that, then you actually need to do a significant like healing period. You need to like, just like, you know, when there's toxins in your body, what do, right? What do all the Instagram hipsters do? They detox, right? And so you need to do a detox. Like you actually have to spend an intentional season detoxing because what you don't realize whether, and I call it minor trauma. I think a lot of people, when we say the word trauma, they think of rape and abuse and all these things which are heinous and terrible, and people have walked through that, and I know a lot of people who've also found healing thankfully by the grace of God. But there's such thing as minor trauma where it's not like anything that you say like, oh, that just was a moment that totally wrecked my life, but it's traumatic in the sense of like patterns and toxicity and unhealthiness do start creating habits in you that are really unhealthy that you don't realize you're doing, and that then if left unchecked can really affect like multiple years of your life. I feel like I'm out of breath for some reason tonight. So that's what I just
got some asthma.
I know, seriously, I'm with you. Hear me?
When
wheezing.
We were in Vail, it was really
rough. It was, man, that like thin air. So yeah, that's what I would say with that, Lauren. Is I think it's a great. I think you seem already like you're at the place of, you know. It just seems like you know. You just know it'll be hard. And so then, do they give you encouragement there? Like it will be hard. Surround yourself with good community. It sounds like, so you said your friends are all getting relationships. That's amazing and that's a blessing. But surround yourself with different community. Make it a chance to find new friends. Make new relationships. Specifically use it as a time for mentorship. If you can find an older, godlier woman at church, or like a parent if your parents are killing it, or someone around you. And by the way, check out Reach Church in Kirkland. Our friend pastors that church, and it's right down the street from Northwest. A lot of students go there, and they have mentorship, etc. Then I think that's really where you should spend your first, like, the Lord's going to do a really sweet thing. And here's what I would remind you of: when times are hard in the Lord, or hard in your life, specifically in like a desertous, and this doesn't always mean single. And I know a lot of people who are single and flourishing and loving it, but I get what you mean here. So if it is a season of like singleness, where singleness is hard, or like, a season of loneliness, or a season of just hardship or desert, really, remind yourself that those are actually really sometimes the, when you get out of it, I promise you'll look back and say that was one of the sweetest times with the Lord, if you push in and if you commit to him. But, real quick though, before I let
Alyssa, so I actually won't answer it.
Well, no, I want Alyssa to answer it, but I could tell from her eyes that she was about to drop a 20-minute truth bomb on you. No. And so I just wanted to break it up before she drops the fire. So I want to talk about one of this week's sponsors, guys. And one of this week's sponsors is Brooklinen, as I mentioned. We've mentioned them before. We love Brooklinen. They're actually, we got bedding from them, and it's incredible and it's amazing. They even like to say you spend a third of your life in your sheets. So it makes a difference how you sleep. I probably spend a half of my life in my sheets because I sleep like 15 hours a day. But starting getting better sleep, start getting better sleep with the best sheets, and Brooklinen can help you do that. And they're really, really awesome. They were founded in April 2014 by a husband and wife team. So you're supporting the married entrepreneurs. Their philosophy is the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials, no crazy prices. And then the cool part is no unnecessary markups or fees, because bedding is actually crazy marked up. And my favorite is they have 20,000 five-star reviews, which is amazing. We love ours. We got like, I think I got white and gray, polka dotted, and then a certain down comforter. It's incredible, guys. So we have an exclusive offer for you guys, okay? So get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOVE at brooklinen.com. And they're actually so confident that they actually want to offer you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. I didn't even know that was possible, but they are killing it with that. And so the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use the promo code LOVE at brooklinen.com. Again, that's brooklinen.com, promo code LOVE. All right, Liz, take it away. Drop bombs.
Well, I think, can you reread drop the last
bombs
half
on
of...
Drop bombs on them. Drop bombs on them. Lauren. And
just the last part. The last question.
Any advice to stay patient while single? But remember, toxic relationship. She knows she's about to attend college. Her friends are getting in relationships. It's not. She knows it's not her time yet. It's a time to grow with the Lord. Any advice to stay patient while single?
What? Sorry, Jeff's just cracking me up. Okay, so everything Jeff said, yes. And I think... I think it is really hard to be patient in general, no matter what you're being patient for. And especially when all your friends have something that you really want, it can be really hard. And coming from a toxic relationship, knowing that you want something different and something healthy. And so, I think just the main thing while you're waiting, and I know it sounds so cliche or so like vacation Bible school, but is to pray and
preach.
I think praying is the key, because it's not like we just sit and I've shared this multiple times before, but it's not like we just sit back in our pajamas and like, okay, Lord, whenever you want, you can just bring him in right now.
Yeah.
But it's when we pray, we're actively waiting. We're not just passively waiting. And so it's us, you know, pouring our heart out to the Lord. And two main things from prayer, which is so sweet, is that then we get to draw close to the Lord and get to know him and have this sweet relationship and conversations with him. And the Lord changes us as we pray. He makes us more like him. We fill our mind with truth. We can confide in him and find security in him, and really find, I don't know, he just really fills up our loneliness as we pray. And then also while you're praying, so it's not just praying and telling the Lord your heart, but it's also praying for your future husband. And as you do that, the Lord is working in your future husband's heart, and he is moving and he's doing things. And sometimes it can be really hard because you don't see the fruit until you meet him, or even years after you've been married, you can look back and be like, oh my goodness, when I was praying that, the Lord was totally doing this in my husband's life.
That's so good.
And so I think just having a vision for that and asking the Lord to give you a desire for that, And, you know, a really great book if you're like, well, I don't even know how to pray for my future husband. How do I even do that?
Yeah.
Robin Jones Gunn and Trisha Goyer wrote a book called Praying for Your Future Husband, which I highly recommend. I read it multiple times when I was single. And it and tells her
a bunch of girls, weren't they reading that at the club a couple, yeah, like last week?
Yeah, Bible study last week. They were reading it. And it tells their stories and how they met their husband and how the Lord worked, but it also gives you specific things to pray for and actual prayers to pray. And so I think that's a really great place to start. And I feel like it's just really encouraging, and it gives you something to hope for. It gives you a vision for why you're waiting. That's not just like because the Lord isn't good or he's holding out on you, but he's actually really wanting to do something, yeah, in your heart right now and in your future spouse's heart. And I think it helps you too to not settle for other guys that come along. I mean, you'll go to college in the fall and there'll be tons of guys, but to really stay focused on,
you see, you'll go to college healthy in the fall, or you'll go to college and fall for the guys.
Yes.
Which one did you say?
Well, either in the fall. I meant like in September. But really staying focused on.
What's that joke? It's like, it's like a Laffy Taffy like pickup line or something where it's like, I don't remember. What was it, like, what season is it? Because I'm falling for you. Or something. Or is it autumn? Because I'm falling for you.
I don't know, babe. You got to work on
Sorry.
So, yeah, that's all.
Well, no, continue.
Well, that was it. I just said just to stay focused and not to settle for other guys, or to, you know, guard your heart against other relationships that aren't the best.
Okay, Lauren, her answer was better than mine, so you can just skip to her answer.
No, you needed both.
Jordan Bouchard, however you pronounce that, it's a cool last name. Is there any way of knowing when you and your S.O., abbreviated for significant other.
Oh, thanks. I didn't know what that
meant.
Is
there any way of knowing when you and your S.O. are ready to get engaged? What conversations? I always wonder, here's my question first, Jordan. Who's an unsignificant other? Right? Like, we only have one significant other. And I always wonder, does that mean everyone else? Like, you know, your friends, your parents, they're unsignificant others. Right? Isn't that funny? It's like, why do we call it significant? Okay. What conversations should happen? I'm going to start going around saying, hey, how, then there would be you. Well, I guess unsignificant is still one word. So it'd be
UO.
How you doing, my unsignificant other? What conversation should happen before and during engagement to see if things will work in the long run? Some say people are never really ready for marriage, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Great question. You're not totally ready in the sense of like sometimes you have to actually swim in the pool to know how to fully swim in the pool, but you can also read as many textbooks as you want about how to swim in the pool, and both also, are true. Both are true.
Jeff and I also think it's a myth, a debacle. I'm like losing my words. Debacle. I don't know. When people, and especially guys, feel like this, when they have to have all their ducks lined up in a row before they can propose to the girl. And yes, you need to like, you know,
wise. You don't want to get married and be homeless.
Yes, you need to have a place to live.
But most people I know who are towing that line are being too conservatively nervous.
Yes.
Of like, I need to do more, make more, have more before I get married. Here's something I'll say, Jordan. Mm-hmm. If it comes to, if that's like, so there's, are we talking like kind of like resources, stewardship, financial, or are we talking like emotional, spiritual? If we're talking resources, stewardship, financial, one thing I would say is, yeah, like, if you can literally barely scrape together money to eat and have a roof over your head, get married. If that's the hurdle.
Oh, get married?
Yeah, get married. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, if you can provide a roof and provide food and you guys are not going to die and that's the like thing that's your hurdle, that's a dumb hurdle. Get married.
Right.
But
if you're living with your parents still and you don't have a job.
Then yeah, don't get married.
You need to get a job first.
Don't get married. You can't put a roof over your head and feed yourself.
Right.
Your mom can, but you can't.
Right.
So that's a big one, because I actually know, I think so many times, we buy this myth of like having our ducks in a row and having our life all planned out, when in reality, I think
or having arrived and then you can
get married. You never actually do arrive. You always want something more. And then also, sorry guys, I'm sounding a little stuffed up. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. And then I think, lost it. It flew away.
Jeff's been working on these. This built-in in our house, and they're last amazing. Week he painted. He liked it. It's like a sprayer that you put paint in, so it comes
HVLP,
out super,
for those that know what that is.
Yeah, yeah. It comes out super smooth, but he realized afterwards, well, day two.
I know you're supposed to have a painting mask, but I didn't have it, so I wore a sanding mask, which I just thought I could get through.
Yeah, day two he realized, oh, I just inhaled all this paint fumes.
Yeah, like a lot of it makes it through the sanding mask. It's like a different type of fume. But,
yeah, so that's why he's all stuffy.
And I knew it was really bad because when I actually took off the mask, there was like paint creases on my nostrils. I was like, yeah, that's
and
bad.
Then that night we were sleeping and Jeff doesn't usually snore, but that night he was snoring and he would, like, you know how you snore, like you breathe in really loud,
yeah.
And then he would have like this wheeze that came out after, and we sleep downstairs and our kids are upstairs, so we have monitors, and I woke up twice in the night thinking that our, like, one of our kids was crying and asking for us, and after like 3 or so minutes I realized it was Jeff's nose. Like, he just was wheezy.
And I don't wheeze or snore either, so it was very out of the ordinary.
Anyway, so back to Jordan.
Actually, Jordan, before we get to your question, we're going to go to this week's sponsor. And this week is from, and our last sponsor for this week is Zola. Oh, you saw that. Okay. We've talked about Zola before too as well, guys. We love Zola. Now, you can join 500,000 couples, other couples who have used Zola. What they do is they essentially take the stress out of wedding. Oh, Jordan, this is for you. This is for you. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with their free, easy-to-use suite of wedding plan tools. So you can create a free wedding website, register at your stores, so much more. It's incredible. It's amazing. So the main thing, too, is registering, obviously. And so they make registering so easy, and they have stores that have a wide selection of gifts for every room in your house. They host over 500 top brands from KitchenAid to Cuisinart. I always remember how to say Sonos, Airbnb. They carry gift cards for travel. It's incredible, guys. And it even goes beyond registry. Like I said, you can create a website. They have different designs, and they'll help you with managing your wedding planning. It's amazing, and we want to hook you guys up. So to sign up with Zola and receive a free $50 credit towards your registry, go to Zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. So again, that's Zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa, JeffAndAlyssa. And yeah, guys, we love them. I mean, when you check them out, they're incredible. My favorite thing is it's super easy to navigate on the site. It's so robust in the sense of, like, it's so many of the things you need when you're about to get married. And so check them out, guys. They're super incredible. I wish it was around when we got married 6 years ago, and that was barely even before Pinterest was a thing. So
No. Pinterest was in full bloom.
That's true. But guys, it's incredible. I wish Zola was around when we got married. So check them out, Zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. Jordan, let's get back to you. So if it's financial steward resource thing, but you have enough to, like I said, have a roof and have food, get married. Now what do you need to know before you get engaged, from spiritual, emotional, mental, if that's what you want to call it? What conversations should happen? That one, I mean, you definitely want to, before you get engaged, you want to, I mean, how do I say this? Like, you want to know the entire person. So, like,
there should... Well, keep talking.
I don't mean physically. I didn't mean physically.
Well, you know people are going to take it that way.
Okay, I don't mean physically. No be boinking or having sex before you get married, okay? If you love Jesus, wait, then be boinking. Okay. Guys, so here's the thing. I thought that was just like, I thought that was as obvious as possible.
No.
Okay. But you need to know there should be no rock left unturned in, like, regards to their life. And again, that's a metaphor. That doesn't mean with their clothes.
Oh, no. I'm going to cut you off. It's too late, guys.
Tonight's our night.
Do you want to talk about what Ken said today?
Oh, yeah. I put it on Twitter if you guys saw it, but... Guys,
or Instagram.
Yeah, so we're actually very particular about...
Sorry, Jordan. We will answer your question.
Yeah, we're very particular about using the right words for genitalia with our kids, just because I think that's actually part of the shame of it, and also part of the weird culture that can sometimes be, like, evil, is that we don't actually use the real words. And so, or that's just, like, a really easy, up high starting point. So we are always very clear to say, like, that's a penis, that's a vagina, right? And so our kids, like, we talk about it a lot. They talk about it a lot. And so this morning, Kinsley comes up to us and just says, like, hey, does Jesus have a penis? And then because usually I just immediately thought of, like, you know, theology and, like, oh yeah, he's, like, in his resurrected body and his new self. He has a physicality. So I said, oh yeah, he has a resurrected penis. And I didn't, and I was like, oh man, that's hilarious. Because first of all, I just said Jesus has a resurrected penis. But second of all, there's even like a deeper layer there of like, oh my goodness, did I just say Jesus has a boner? Like, like, did I accidentally just say that? Because I meant like resurrected in the sense of like he came out of the grave and he has a new body and a new life. But I didn't mean like resurrected in the actual true sense of the word. So yeah, guys, that's parenthood for you. And we, yeah, if you can't tell, I went to seminary and it really, really paid off. And then she asked if the Holy Spirit had a penis, and then we just moved on.
Did.
Yeah, like, okay, let's. Okay, we're moving on. We're moving on. No more penis talk.
Well. So. Yes, like a year ago, it was very like.
I'm gonna title the podcast this. Does Jesus have a penis?
Double X.
What are you gonna say?
Oh, I was just saying a year ago. Well, because so Sissy has a younger brother, so obviously we talk about penises, and she's more of a tomboy.
And she doesn't say the full word vagina because she's like she has a tough time with it, so she says vagina.
Yeah, she's more of a tomboy.
Just in case you guys are wondering.
Anyway, so when he was first born, it was like for a good year, it was like. Oh, is this person a boy? Is this person a boy? Is this person a girl? Yeah. What makes them a boy and girl? So we just kept saying penis and vagina. So it makes total sense now that she's like, oh, well, what about God?
Totally.
You know, so anyway, it's just.
She's funny. Getting into the depths of theology, guys. That's where, yeah. That's where it really counts. Okay, Jordan, okay. We're going to end this podcast.
We only answered two questions.
Guys, we like to talk. It's like over 20 something minutes. So what I meant by that is
emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah, metaphorically, there should be no stone left unturned, meaning.
You shouldn't be hiding anything from them.
And not just even hiding anything. Like, there shouldn't be any surprises, yes, like, in your, yes, past or in who you are, in your goals, in your dreams. And so I don't mean, like, have every, like, be wise with certain decisions, right? Like, so, again, even back to the sex thing. Like, obviously, you shouldn't be having sex before marriage just for the, I mean, we've talked about that a bajillion videos on that. Yeah. But even, I think you should talk about sex before you get, like, engaged, sexual past, sexual history, all that stuff, but like also be wise with that. I don't think that's something you should talk about a ton. Mm-mm. I think that should be reserved more for a lot closer to the wedding date. I think it should set like boundaries of when you're going to talk about it, how you're going to talk about it briefly, quickly, because then it can just that just helps prevent temptation. So like stuff like that where it's like, yeah, you should talk about that, but there's also wisdom there. So you know, family history, any trauma, where you want, what you want to do with your life, kids, like just talk about it all, just have conversations. And so yeah, that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Addictions you've had, places where the Lord's healed you.
Yeah.
Places that are still difficult.
Yeah.
Those things. And I think even before you get engaged, Jeff and I met with a couple and we did like pre-engagement, yeah, counseling. So we knew we wanted to get married. We were really serious, but we met with a couple just to like.
Yeah, we actually recommend that. Like no one ever does. Everyone does premarital counseling. We did pre-engaged counseling because we, yeah, wanted to kind of go helpful. That. We wanted to go that deep before we even said we want to marry.
Yeah. Yep. And yep. What we did, we just read through Tim Keller's Meaning of Marriage just to even, yep, know like what is marriage about? What's the theology?
Yep.
Let's be on the same wavelength. And then we continued that same book into, yeah, the premarital counseling. So
yeah,
I think that's good. And I think it's funny because we were talking about this at Bible study last week. I think, which I just am not aware of, but sometimes the world and media portrays like.
Did they just hear that? Hopefully not.
they portray that. What am I trying to say? That the proposal should be a total surprise. Like the woman shouldn't even have a clue.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's not realistic.
I think it's almost the opposite. I think it's almost like, oh, yeah, I was expecting Tuesday and, yeah, it's Tuesday.
No, I mean, it's okay to be surprised about when they do it. But I feel like,
yeah,
if you are really dating with the purpose of marriage, then you guys need to be having these conversations.
Yeah.
And so that, and you are in the same wavelength and you know that you want to get married and that you can't live your life without each other. And then you like surprise her with the proposal, but it's not it's a surprise of when and how, but it's not, yeah, a surprise of like, oh, you want to marry me?
Yeah.
Like that really should, yeah. So anyway, I think it's really good to have those conversations. And if you need help knowing what kind of conversations to have, then try to find an older couple that will, yeah, just have you over for dinner a few, yeah, times or something like that can just ask you guys questions and kind of get everything out on the table.
Totally. Oh, that was so good. Guys, this was the most out of control podcast we've ever had. If you like that, let us know on Twitter because I don't know if you like that. So we might. We love you guys. Have a good rest of the week. Tweet us. Hit us up on Instagram. We'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Bye.